Well, good morning, family. Greetings in Jesus' name. It's so good and awesome just to be in the presence of the Lord and to share the word with you this morning. I really believe that God is doing so much in our lives, especially in this season. And I'm really excited for the privilege and the honor and the opportunity to come and share with you this morning. The word of the Lord is, I think, is the quintessential aspect of our existence as sons of God. And that being so key for us and pivotal in our sonship, that the word must be entrenched, established within our lives to the point that it becomes manifest and fleshed out. So this morning, I want to share some thoughts with us by the will of God. And hopefully the Spirit of the Lord will also encourage us as we go along through the scriptures. I've been realizing in these days that God is speaking, and especially to a company that is in alignment with those that are in His will. There are many today who are out of His will and are feeling the effects of the circumstances, the effects of the surroundings within the environment, both negatively as well as positively. But I realize as we grow and mature in the things of God, it's important for us as sons of God to really come to the place where we remain in the will of God. So in that, I would like to share a couple of thoughts around the scriptures in regards to, if you would indulge me and put a title to what we'd like to share this morning, I would like to share on the aspect of positioning yourself for divine intervention and provision. Positioning yourself for divine intervention and provision. If there's ever a time that we need to be established and trust in God, it is now. If there's ever a time that we should bolster our faith in regards to, is God for us, it is now. So I would like to go to 2 Kings, because there's some principles I really think that will help us to position us in such a way that we can function not only just to survive in this current situation, the pandemic per se, or even regards to the situations or circumstances that you're facing within your life. I really believe that this is a season for us to set things in order, reposition ourselves, put ourselves in such a place, in such a way that we can have the intrusion of God within our lives. The divine intervention of the Holy Spirit working daily within our lives. So I'd like to start off with a scripture from 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1. And a conferring scripture would also be Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 1. But reading 2 Kings, verse 20, verse 1, it says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.'" Now here's an emphatic and a frightening statement from the prophet Isaiah about arranging, positioning in context Hezekiah's life. And colloquially for us, he's speaking how we should arrange our lives. And he also brings to light that there is consequences for not adjusting or coming into a place of alignment in Christ. Now, structuring oneself accurately in the will of God is going to be key in this season. And we're going to look at a familiar case study in regards to that. But it's important for us to understand that God is asking us, God is calling us, God is prompting us to set our house in order. And we understand the Greek word for house, oikios, or the Hebrew word bayith, speaks more than just the brick and the mortar. It speaks more about just the environment or a building, but it speaks to or relates to that of family, that of family. So we realize that the house, the oikios, is not just so much an animated or a constructive process, but the word oikios speaks of a living entity called family. And this is where God wants to dwell in us. But we realize that there are certain things and aspects within our life that are always or are out of order. So in the midst of the pandemic that is before us, that is affecting us and infecting us in so many ways, it's so easy to get overwhelmed. It's so easy to be distracted by the happenings around us. And at the same token, I really believe that there is a company of people or a remnant called a corporate son, that will emerge victorious, not only victorious in this season, but also we will come to a place where we can accomplish the will of God for our lives. I want to be very practical with us this morning as we come around the word, because I really feel that sometimes we can get very theological, which at times is necessary. We can get locked up in issues that would waylay us or detract us from what the focus is that God would desire of us. So practically, I would like to look at a case study. And the case study is that of Elisha and the Shunammite woman, which is a very familiar story to those who are au fait with the word of God. So I would like to read, just to get a context of it. So we'll turn to the book of Kings, the same chapter, 2 Kings. We'll read from chapter 4 and from verse 8, and we will read on from there. And what we want to do, the object and the aim this morning is we realize that there's aspects in our life that we have to rearrange and come into alignment with God. Do you desire that breakthrough? Do you desire the miracles? Do you desire the prayer requests that, and supplications and petitions that you've been raising up to the heavens? That you've been filling the corridors of heaven and bombarding God in always just coming and knocking on his door for those same petitions? It's important that when we come to this place, and it's fundamental that if that be our regard or our position, it's important that we position ourselves accurately so that the heavens can respond to that which we require. So the story is this, reading from 2 Kings chapter 4 and from verse 8. And it says, one day Elisha went to Shunem, where a wealthy woman lived who urged him to eat some food. So whenever he passed that way, he would turn in there to eat food. And he said to her husband, behold, I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way. Let us make a small room on the roof with walls and put there for him a bed, a table, a chair, a lamp, so that whenever he comes to us, he can go in. I want to share some principles, and we will just pause at that junction for now. And I want to share some principles in regards to how does one get your life in order. Isaiah would say it to Hezekiah, set your house in order. And we understand that that word set speaks of a deliberate, speaks of a conscious move or decision that you and I have to make in regards to our current situations and circumstances. One has to be established foundationally in the things of God, so that our edifice that would rise up would be strong in the things of God. Are you setting your life up for success? Are you setting up the ways of how God would want to work with inside of us through his word? So I got about 5 or 6 principles that God willing, we will just try and share and extrapolate from this case study. First thing, it's important to understand that we need to accurately perceive the presence of God through the grace carriers that God has given us in this season. We need to accurately perceive. And I'm going to use that word accurate or accurately quite often, because the level that God is taking us to now is not just so much the standard, or I believe the demand, for where God wants to take us and to install all that He has for us and even to fulfill in our destinies, is we've got to come to that place called accuracy. Accuracy. So, what did this lady do to readjust, to reorganize, to put in place so that not just per se that her needs will be met, but so that she can house and she can allow the grace of God to be within her environment? So the first thing is, when we read in verse 9 of that same chapter, it says, "And she said to her husband," acknowledging the authority, "Behold now," and just let me pause there again. The word "behold" speaks of two dimensions, not just merely to see, to behold, to look at, but also it speaks of to embrace, to take a hold of, to take a hold of. So what was she saying to her husband? She's saying it's not just a matter of observation that the man of God is constantly entering into our city and visits from time to time, but she sees that this is a grace carrier, that this one is carrying more than just a visitation. She says, verse 9, "I know that this is a holy man of God who is continually passing our way." Perceiving the grace of God in the season is going to be quintessential, and it's going to be the fulcrum, the hub of our sonship and maturity in Christ. I want to encourage you, locate the grace carriers, the grace speakers, those that carry the voice of God within our life. And in our context as the Gate family, we are so privileged and so blessed that we do have grace carriers who are authentic and who are genuine, to mature us into the sons that God would have us to be. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, we are introduced to the nations, or the nations of Israel, coming to locate themselves with David at Hebron. But one of the tribes, one of the sons, whose name is Issachar, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 12 verse 32, and it says, "Of Issachar, men who understood," or had understanding of the times, "to know what Israel ought to do." Here's a powerful principle for you and I today. Amidst all that is taking place around us, we need the divine perception of the true and authentic grace of God that is covering us. Amen. But not only that, secondly, we realize there is a principle that helps us to reposition ourselves accurately before God so that God can intervene in our lives. So we said, number one, we need to have an accurate perception of God's presence through the grace carriers in our lives. But number two is that we need to accurately position ourselves in honor. In honor. When we look at the story, this woman, the Shunammite woman, arranges a structure in honor. And she understands the principle of respect by consulting the authority that is over her, which is her husband. At the same token, she perceives the grace of God in this man. And then what does she do? She says, "I need to honor him." And this is a key principle within the season. How does one's breakthrough, how does one set your house in order? Is simply this. Learn how to accurately honor those around you. The principle of honor is very vast, and I think in the season, if we can master it, it will definitely open up many doors that God would have for us. So the Bible says she makes room. There is a doing to the honor. It's not just a recognition to a husband and a perception in a spirit that this is a man of God. But what does she do? She now makes structural adjustments, physical structural adjustments within her home to house this divine intervention of the grace of God in her life. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage your family. It is so important in this season that we rearrange the furniture of our life, if I can put it that way, that we set up the systems around us that are conducive for a divine visitation of God. It's time to clean up certain things. You know, it's amazing when you look at a house and you want more space within a house or within the room, you will realize that the space that you're requiring is not that you have to make an extension or you have to break walls down to increase the size of the room. But sometimes you just have to clean up what is in the room. Rearrange certain things that create the space for grace. And this woman does certain things. She rearranges her whole structure of her home. And the principle is she places the man of God above her, which is a sign of honor. So not only must we have accurate perception in this season that's going to help us to clean up things in our life, but also we need to have come to a place of being accurately positioned in honor for the things of God. Remember, the Bible says that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me, and on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands." Here is a picture of John, the Revelator, who has been taken in a vision to the heavens and being ushered in and been shown around. And he turns to see this voice that is speaking to him. And what is it? He realizes that there's got to be a turning and a shifting within one's life so that we can actually and accurately be positioned so where God can meet at us. Amen. So, things happen in your life when you begin to make room for God to move. Things happen when you start cleaning up the closets of your heart. And the scripture in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you." There is a protocol or a process that one must follow in cleaning up of your house. And one is, what is that? The first thing is we need to come to the place and seek God first. Seek God first. This woman readjusts a home structurally, as well as she furnishes it internally. A powerful principle for you and I today. Because remember, we're still speaking about accurately positioning yourself in honor. She places a table, the Bible says, a chair. She puts in a bed so that the man of God will not only just be comfortable, but she's facilitating the processes and the will of God that the man of God will be coming to deliver within that region. I want to encourage you. We know symbolically that a table represents aspects of family, of coming together. It's at the table where revelation is revealed, both love from a father that reveals to his sons and the family around the table, as well as enemies are also revealed at the table. So we realize the table is a place of coming together. And this, I believe, is key for us in the season, that when we can honor God and rearrange things within our lives that God has put in place, when we say, "God, I want to sit at your feet so that I can hear from you, I can engage you." Remember John, the disciple? The Bible says that he, John the Beloved, that he would rest his head on Jesus' bosom, a place of close proximity, a place where he could hear the heartbeat of Jesus. The others would fight for and jostle for positions, but John's position was this: I want to be close. I want to be where God is. And this is when we accurately position ourselves in honor and arrange this furniture within our lives, God begins to make things happen for us. But thirdly, in continuing with that story, if we go to verse 11 in 2 Kings, the Bible reads this, and one day he came there and he turned into the chamber and rested there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. When he called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, say now to her, see, you have taken all this trouble for us. What is it to be done for you? Would you have a word spoken to you on behalf of the king or to the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. In other words, she was literally saying, I have come to a place where I am content of where I am. Verse 14 says, and he said to her, what then is to be done for you? Gehazi answered, and he said to her, she has no son, and her husband is old. He said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the doorway, and he said, at this time, this season, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant. But the woman conceived, and she bore a son about that time, the following spring, as Elisha had said to her. Wow, awesome response or a discourse that has taken place. Now, I want you just to make a note of a few things, because when you accurately position yourself towards God, you recruit divine favor. You recruit the attention of the heavens. And here we see this principle number three. You recruit the attention of Christ, of God, when you accurately position yourself, when you set your house in order. She is summoned by the prophet and through the servant Gehazi. And the Bible says, in the first instance where she comes and she stands before Elisha, and Elisha asks, what can he do for her? You know, that's an amazing thing. God is always wanting to do things for us. God is always asking, what can I do for you? If you follow Jesus' life and his ministry, a lot of the times you will notice that every time he would perform a miracle, whether it be a healing or a deliverance, he would always ask first. He'll say, and Jesus had compassion. Then he would ask, what is it that you would want me to do? Remember the 38-year-old conditioned man who was paralyzed? And the Bible says, he asked this man, what do you want? And unfortunately, we make excuses and we never respond accurately. In this case, what I want to point out and I want to show you here is that there is a meeting and a discussion between the prophet and this woman, but there is an intermediary. There's somebody in the middle, and that is his servant. So this engagement or this discourse is taking place in such a way that the prophet himself doesn't seem to be speaking directly to her, but he's speaking to her through his servant. Until we read again where he says, where the servant says to his master Elisha, she does not have a son. Now, then the Bible says, call her here. And this time we see a direct engagement in the conversation that takes place between the man of God and the servant in the form of this woman who serves God's purposes. And the principle is this: when you have positioned yourself accurately in God, you don't look for favor. Favor finds you. Amen. Favor finds you. You know, it's amazing that we can try and do things to recruit certain benefits. We can do things to recruit certain favor. But yet, when you just accurately position yourself, favor comes to you. And I want to encourage you, this is a powerful principle. As we're beginning to set things in order in our life, position yourself accurately. Let the posture of your heart be so directed into the purposes and the will of God that God will act upon you. Amen. Fourthly, in regards to this narrative and this case study that we can glean from of how we can take these principles on how to set our lives in order, is we need to accurately position ourselves to such a place, to such a way that God will sustain us. God will sustain us. So, continuing in the same chapter, verse 18, the Bible says, reading on, it says, when the child had grown, he went out one day to his father among the reapers, and he said to his father, oh, my head, my head. The father said to his servant, carry him to his mother. Carry him to his mother. And when he had lifted him up and brought him to his mother, the child sat on her lap till noon, and then he died. Verse 21, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, send me one of the servants, one of the donkeys, that I might quickly go to the man of God and quickly come back. And he said, why will you go to him today? It is neither a new moon nor a Sabbath. She said, all is well. All is well. Let me just pause there and prophetically say this to us this morning. All is well. In the midst of the difficulties, in the midst of confusion, in the midst of so much that's taking place around us, even within us, I want to say to you prophetically today, all is well. Now, was all well? No, let's continue with the story. The Bible says, verse 24, then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, urge the animal on, do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When the man of God saw her coming, he said to Gehazi, his servant, look, there is the Shunammite. Run at once to meet her and say to her, is all well with you? Is all well with your husband? And is all well with your child? And she answered, all is well. I want to encourage us this morning. All is well. All is well. Even though you might walk through the valley of the shadow of death, all is well. Again, we see the prophet sending his servant that comes in as an intermediary again. And unfortunately, the word that was taken back for the healing of the child never worked. And she says, I'm going to pursue the man of God myself. I'm going to pursue it. And you know, this speaks, the principle is when you have a desire and a pursuance after the things of God, in an accurate way, the Bible, the benefits of what the Bible says will always come to you. They will run to you. The favor of God will run to you. And I want you to just look at some of the details in regards to when Elisha now meets with this woman and goes back with the son, or goes back to minister a healing to the son. And where does he find him? Where does the man of God find the son? Laying on his bed. The very structure, the very environment, the very thing that the woman had created within her life became the very source, became the very place that the miracle would take place. That is so powerful for us today. Set your structure right now, and that will be the very place that will be where God will do his miracle and work in your life. Remember the story of the woman, the one with the jar of oil. And the prophet said to her, he said, go to all your neighbors, collect jars. And she collected as many as she could. The miracle took place. But where did she sell the oil? To the very same people that gave her the jars. She borrowed empty and returned the jars back. But this time they paid her for it. You see, the very place or the very environment that we are locked in now, God can do that miracle that is impending for you. Amen. So she honored God. She honored her husband. She honored the man of God. And because of that, she was sustained. And the Bible says, she quotes this, "It is well. It is well." So the very room that you create, the very space that you create within your life, in accordance to the positioning, to the will of God, is going to be the very place that God is going to do this miracle for you. Fifthly, reading from verse 27 of that same chapter, I want us to look at another principle. And the Bible says, "And when she had come to the mountain of the man of God, she caught hold of his feet, and Gehazi came to push her away. But the man of God said, 'Leave her alone, for she is in bitter distress. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me.' Then he said, 'Did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, do not deceive me?' He said to Gehazi, 'Tie up your garments, take my staff in your hand, and go. If you meet anyone, do not greet them. If anyone greets you, do not reply, and lay my staff on the face of the child.' Then the mother of the child said, 'As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So he arose and followed her. Gehazi went on ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was no sound or sign of life. Therefore, he returned to meet him and told him, 'The child has not awoken.'" The principle that I want to share with us is this, is accurately position yourself by pursuing God passionately. Don't let him go, especially in this season. It's so easy to want to give up. It's so easy to want to succumb to the environment that is so antagonistic, so pessimistic around us. Don't give in. Be passionate. She says, "I will not leave you until you come with me." Psalm chapter 42, verse 1, the psalmist puts it like this. He says, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul would long after thee." There has to be an ardent desire and a pursuance, a genuine drive within inside of you that pulls you towards God, that says, "Lord, I will not leave you until you bless me." This speaks of not giving up. This speaks of not giving up. And what does she do? She grabs the feet of the prophet. And we know feet speak of mobility. It also speaks of acknowledgement of the authority of a sent one. Remember in Romans chapter 10, verse 15, it says, "How beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news." Some people will never understand the desire that you have for God, or the desperation, or the dire straits of your need that you're facing right now. People will see the gloss on the outside, the smile, but they can't see the pain behind that smile. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Even in the midst of that circumstance or those feelings, pursue after God. And you know, it's amazing that the prophet did not perceive the problem, because the Bible says that he did not, that the Bible says, and the prophet did not perceive that the woman had lost a son. He perceived a distress, that she was in distress and troubled, but he did not know why. You know, sometimes I want to encourage us. So I think sometimes God hides things away from us or from other sources, so that what? We can solely or totally rely upon him. You see, it's so easy to want to latch onto things in the past that have helped you and have worked for you. But when God is doing a new thing now, we need to realize that it's God who is doing. In Psalm, or in fact in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18, the Bible says, "Forgetting the things which are behind and do not consider them the things of the past. As I paraphrase, it says, behold, for I am doing a new thing. Shall you not know it? It shall spring forth. And he goes on verse 19. He says, I shall make a way in the wilderness, and I shall make rivers in the desert. What is the principle here that I want to encourage us together? Is that sometimes God will orchestrate things in our life that we need to rearrange so that we can totally trust and rely on Him. Totally rely on Him. The famous scripture that we always quote in Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 5 and 6, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It says, lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. I want to encourage you. God is arranging things as you position yourself so that He can be your source and your resource. In verse 32, we continue with the story, and we see now how the child gets healed. And the Bible says, and when Elisha came into the house, he saw the child lying on the bed, dead. So he went in and shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. Then he went up and lay on the child, putting his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. And as he stretched himself upon him, the flesh of the child became warm. Then he got up again and walked once back and forth in the house. And he went up and stretched himself upon him. The child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he summoned Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, pick up your son. She came and fell at his feet, bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. What a powerful principle, and what a powerful miracle and experience that this woman had. And she acknowledges God in the midst of that whole circumstance. She doesn't just run straight to embrace the son that she knows is dead. She doesn't just get overwhelmed by the emotion of the loss and now the resurrection of a child. But what does she do? She acknowledges God first. And what does she do? The Bible says that she grabs the feet and she bows down to the ground. This is speaking of how one must honor and be grateful and thankful for what God is doing right now in your life. Now you might say to me, but how can I be thankful for the things that are terrible, the things that are difficult, the things that are confusing? I want to encourage you. It's in those times where the Lord will summon you, and your response will be, Lord, thank you, and you will receive your breakthrough. Amen. So it's important for us to understand this, that the same place of rest was the same place of resurrection for the son. The prophet rested in that room in his times of coming and ministry in and out of Shunem. But that same place of rest became the place of resurrection. I want to encourage you this morning. Rest in the things of God. Resurrection is about to take place. Amen. Things that have been dead are now coming alive. Things that have been lost are now going to be found. That passion that has been weighed, the passion that has been dwindled and doused and drenched by circumstances and disappointments and hurts and the rigors of life, I'm saying to you this morning, resurrection is coming in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I prophesy to you, the very things that you would put, that you would restructure within your life and position yourself in the things of God, that is the place where resurrection, that things are now going to come alive again in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So expect your miracle. Expect your breakthrough. The knock on the door is about to open. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says this. Knock and the door will be open. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Position yourself in such a way that you can reach the door to knock and it will be open unto you. Position yourself in such a way that your voice can be heard. So in your time of requesting, in your time of petitioning, in your time of asking and crying and weeping before the Lord, you will be heard in Jesus' name. And pursue and seek after God, because you're going to find. Amen. I want to encourage you. This case study of this woman, of how she arranges, structures, put things in place within her life, gives us a glimpse of how you and I can also come into that position. I'd like to go back to 2 Kings and highlight just one more principle there in 2 Kings chapter 20. And it says, in those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. I just want to highlight that statement, because the sickness here, obviously we know with Hezekiah's situation that he was physically sick, and that sickness was leading to death. It was going to kill him. Metaphorically, we can look, or symbolically, sickness is something that holds you back, that stops you from doing and being what you really need to do and be. Sickness is one that is always there to hold you from the things that God has. And many of us have sickness to the point of death. In other words, to the point where we can lose the things that God has set for us within our destiny. But the word is clear. A prophet came. And I declare to you today, by the word of the Lord, get your life right. Put things in order. Get back to those first principles. Revelation would tell us, it says, get back to your first love, not an emotion, but to the place where you were engaged in the word of God. Get back to that place of prayer and intercession with God. Rearrange your furniture. Remove the distractions within your space that keep detouring and detracting you and dissuading you from being and doing the things that God has for you. I'm speaking prophetically to us this morning. As I speak to myself, I sense the Spirit of the Lord saying, it will be well. Position yourself accurately. Posture your heart towards the heavens. In 1 Kings chapter 19, when you read from verse 11, where the prophet who has been Elijah, that is running away from Jezebel. In chapter 18, the previous chapter, we see how he has defeated the prophets of Baal, 450 of them. And powerful manifestation of the revelation of the consuming fire of God through that whole sacrifice that took place. Chapter 19, verse 1, the same man that was a part of powerful demonstration within the midst of what God has done is now fearing one woman, Jezebel. But there's something important that God rescues and takes him through a process and brings him to a mountain, to a cave. And the Bible says three representations pass by: an earthquake, fire, and wind. Three manifestations that would indicate that is the presence of God. But yet, God was not in those manifestations. The Bible says, and only when he turned and he went to the edge of the cave and he postured himself, he bowed, he put his head between his knees. And the Bible says, in a still, small voice, the Lord spoke. I want to encourage you. Be still and know that God is with you. Amen. So, set your house in order. Principle number one, accurately perceive the presence of God through the grace carriers that are in our midst. Number two, accurately position yourself in honor. Show respect, always coming to this posture of honoring all that God is, rearranging your life. Number three, accurately position yourself towards God in such a way that you recruit divine favor. Recruit divine favor. And I say this here, that God will even supply the things that you haven't even requested. Remember, it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19 and verse 20, it says God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or even imagine, according to the power that is working within us or invested in us. God can go above and beyond exceedingly when you position yourself. The request that you are petitioning before God now, God will answer and even greater. Accurately position, number four, accurately position yourself will sustain you. Principle number five is we need to passionately pursue after God. This will help us as we position ourselves in God. This will help us to recruit His direct hand, that He will come with us and He will work within our lives. And then the last principle is the place that you are right now. If you accurately position yourself where you are right now, is the very place that God is going to do the miracles for you. Amen. So I'm reminded again of Hezekiah, who, like many of us, we can draw parallels in his life, parallels to so much that he has done. Remember, he was 25 years old when he was king over Israel. By that time, Israel had split into two nations. And the Bible says that in the midst of all that is taking place, that he felt ill and he was about to die. There's so much that can take place within our lives that can probably take away a lot that we've been working for. But I want to encourage us today. I want to encourage you today. God will hear your cry. God has heard you. God has put things in place because you are starting to put things in place. Set your house in order. Amen. So I pray that you will receive this word this morning. I pray that you would hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. And I pray that you would receive what God is saying in the midst of your very life and your circumstances. God is going to come through for us. I really believe that. All is well. All is well. He's at the door. When you knock, He will open and He's right there. I really believe. Like the scripture says, this time next year. This time next year. A frame time is given. And I want to encourage you. God will come through for you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you again for engaging the word of the Lord with me this morning as we continue to pursue after Him, pursue after maturity in Christ. I pray that God will keep you, bless you, may His face shine upon you, and may His favor always be before you. Amen. God bless you.